Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
Wrapping up Tennessee here on the Music of America podcast, our last guest, a really talented, young, energetic, crazy woman. Can I say that?
Fair enough.
Steph McGuire. We really don't know each other. I went through a lot of her stuff on Facebook, and she just seems to be like a lot of fun, a lot of energy, a lot of motorcycles, and we'll talk about that here in just a bit with Steph McGuire, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. I want to introduce you to Trevor and Eileen Bild from a company called Ordinary to Extraordinary Life, O-T-E-L, kind of like hotel without the H, Hotel. They've created, produced, and managed the largest all-original indie music Roku video channel, Hotel Music Videos. They like to give back, help others get seen and then be heard. That's kind of like their life legacy. And now they want to help others. So what they do is they welcome submissions from a variety of genres to send in your videos. Visit their website, hoteluniverse.com. Again, it's O-T-E-L, hoteluniverse.com. Click on the What is Roku tab. It'll be a drop-down menu, and if you click on the Roku channel, then you complete this whole form, submit your video, and then upload it, and you will be on their Roku video channel. Now, Roku is seen in like 160 countries. They have a viewership of over 80 active accounts worldwide. You're really missing out on that exposure. Not that they have all 80 million people watching their Roku channel, but you know, you never know. Whatever they're reaching, you're missing out by not taking advantage of this. Hotel Universe, add their channel to your Roku menu, watch and give them a 5-star rating, and upload your videos today. www.hotel, like hotel without the H, hoteluniverse.com. Our guest today, wrapping up Tennessee, Steph McGuire. I hope you didn't mind me painting you in such a rebel-like picture, but it seems to fit your persona.
I mean, the boot fits. The boot fits.
The boot fits. I like that. Because, you know, the shoe fits, and that's just being rebellious on your part, right? So this is audio, so nodding doesn't really work.
Oh, fair.
She's been this and this. So, Steph, how long have you been playing music? You're a guitar player, singer, songwriter. How long have you been playing?
I've been playing and writing. I've been writing really forever. As long as I can remember, I've always been writing. I picked up a guitar when I was about 16. Uh-huh. And I've been playing professionally. I'm full-time. This is year, going on year 5 professionally full-time as a musician.
And are you from Nashville originally, or did you move there because that's where the music's happening?
I kind of stumbled here. I think I'm not alone in that. A lot of us end up doing that. But originally, I'm from upstate New York. Oh, and okay. I also lived in North Carolina for a good chunk of time in between the two.
What city in upstate New York, and where in North Carolina?
I grew up a little bit north of Syracuse, New York.
I got a buddy up in Rome. That's why I was asking.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah. And I spent a lot of time, give or take, in Raleigh in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. I got an ex-wife there. So our paths have crossed, sort of. And you were 16 when you were in North Carolina then?
No, I was very grown when I was in North Carolina. I think I moved there when I was 29.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So where were you when you started playing professionally then? Were you down in Nashville?
North Carolina. I was in North Carolina full-time. Okay. I went full-time during COVID. I think a lot of people made that switch too.
Yeah.
2020.
Just said, I can't do anything else. May as well do music, right?
Yeah, I got let go from I kind of built the whole career thing, you know, did all that. And then in 2020, you know, everything changed. And I just started thinking, like, you know, if I could just, I started playing music on the weekends. People were having, like, you know, like patio, you could be on a patio and people are doing a lot of to-go services. Mm-hmm. And I just started playing just for fun. I really wasn't very qualified at the time. but they also weren't paying. So it was a good
worked out well.
And yeah, so I would just
were you doing covers, doing original music, what?
At the time, I didn't really know that many covers, but through that process, I kind of learned. You know, I started working on where I at first only had a few, like maybe an hour of songs, and then I had 2 hours of songs, and kind of grew that way. And then, yeah, I started realizing, like, you know, if I just got rid of my truck and just had one that was paid for, I wouldn't really need to go back. I wouldn't have to be worrying about how quick I can get back to work. And then I was just little by little, music started growing, and I started just making the choices to not live at such a high standard where I was affording myself before, and seeing where how far music could take me. And I have not gone back since then.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So many people want that dream, you know, and they're intimidated by it. So where did you get the strength? It's an inner strength thing, right?
It is. I think it's different for everybody. For me, it's definitely like a why thing. You know, I chased a career, and I was a firefighter for 8 years, and then I grew and I went to school. I got a business degree. I worked in property management, and then grew up. I was a fire marshal.
Wow.
And eventually I was working in environmental health and safety for pharmaceutical companies in Raleigh. So I climbed that corporate ladder pretty good. And yeah. It's hard when you get used to that level of income, because now your bills are at that level of income. Sure. And you can't, and now you've got a wall in front of you that feels unbreakable, because anytime you start anything new, it's not going to be lucrative.
Right.
So you kind of have to take the hit and have a reason why you're doing it. And for me, it's just, I really feel like music is such a beautiful thing, and it's so good for the world. And it's entrepreneurship in general is so inspiring to me, because you're really creating not only a job for yourself, but oftentimes jobs for others out of nothing, out of something that can't exist without you, that comes from you. And I think that's what really got me hooked on it was, you know, playing music has always been fun. Really, I'm a writer. I feel like writing has always been my passion. But during that time, I was, you know, hiring photographers, and I was hiring merch people and graphic designers. And I realized that I'm creating work for other small businesses out of thin air, really.
Yeah.
And it's all good. You know, no one's hurting anybody. It's all just based on art and creation. And I think that's just such a positive thing.
It really is a real moving forward thing.
Yeah. So I always wanted to do that when I was younger. I just, you know, no one ever told me music was a real job, you know, no one told me the fact that it was not. And I wish that I had more people in my life that, you know, were role models and touchable and in my lane that could say, not only can you do it, it's like also just a confidence thing of, doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter where you are, or where you came from, or what cards you got dealt. You can really, if you got your heart set on something, you're going to make it happen.
Well, that gives you that confidence. That gives you that confidence place, and people want to do business with people that are confident. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen it before. People going up to a gig like, "Hey, I'm like, are you like hiring? Are you hiring bands and stuff?" And like, guys, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I was in a cover band. I'd walk in, I'd say, "Hey, how you doing? I'm with Modern Vintage." And like, people knew who we were. You know, they didn't know who we were. I'm like,
right.
We're playing out in this area. We got this thing coming up this summer, and it's our tour season. We're doing this thing. And I always had a promotion, so people liked that. But then I'm presenting that instead of like, "Yeah, I'm another band. Me and you want to just like hire us because we want to play here." You know, but it's like you're saying, it's how you present yourself, and it's a confidence thing. It's interesting. You don't have a music influence in your family. There was nobody musical in the family that did this, huh?
Nope, not a one.
You're the trailblazer. So you were a writer, probably writing in high school, right? And then what made you decide to put it to music?
High school is probably when I merged the two. I always wrote, and like I was real big into like poetry.
Uh-huh.
When I was younger, I don't know why, I was just really captivated by all of that. And in high school is when I picked up guitar and started merging the two things of writing. But I also feel like I grew up, I think a lot of people did, you know, no one's life is perfect. You always have things you want to say, but you can't, or you don't, you're not, you don't know how to express yourself. And for me, that was just really such a form of expression. It's just writing things down and getting the angst out, I guess. And then, you know, when I was in high school and learned to play guitar, I really started putting the two things together. And yeah, that's really where things started. It's just, it was really just like a journal, like a therapy for me, really. Yeah. I never ever thought anybody would ever hear my songs ever. I never dreamed that big, I guess, when I was younger.
That's the word that was going through my head when we were talking about that therapy. It's like that cat I told you about earlier off mic about wrote that, you know, wrote some really heavy lyrics, but, you know, about his mom and dad, or that his inspiration was his mom and dad. His mom was an alcoholic and his dad was abusive. And he mentions that on the air. He calls me back and says, maybe cut that part out because they're going to listen to the show. But that's the thing. It gives you a vehicle to get all of that out. Once you learn how to tap into that, so where did you learn that? Did you have a teacher? Did something inspire you? Did you read the Jabberwocky and say, I want to write something like that?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I couldn't put one thing on it. I know, definitely just writing when I was younger too. Like I remember just even in like elementary school, making rhymes and making poems out of simple ideas. And,
so I'm digging down to see if we can find a Dr. Seuss roots here.
Oh yeah. No, I don't know. I know that I did listen to, I was a huge music listener and, that was kind of an outlet for me, was listening to music too. And I really was inspired. My dad would let us pick out. Remember back in the day, you could pick out CDs out of the CD magazines?
Yeah.
Different record companies would send you their brochure and you could pick out. So he would, you know, every once in a while, he would let us, all my siblings and I, we would pick out a CD. And it was like Christmas. And we didn't know what any of it was. Hardly. Right. You'd see a cool cover or a cool name or something, or something your friends were talking about. And you'd want that CD. And so I had like, my first CD was Janet Jackson. And then I had Buddy Holly and the Dixie Chicks, which are the Chicks now, is they're known. And like Good Charlotte, punk, all these just complete.
You're just all over the place, man.
Complete opposing. Yeah. Opposing ideas. And I really liked the writing. Mm-hmm. And like, I was drawn to the lyrics in all these genres. So the music was all over the place, but they're really, a lot of them were saying all the same things. A lot of believe in yourself, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of keep moving. And it was all really very inspiring to me.
There's a guy I've seen on Reels lately who does a dramatic reading of lyrics. And the most astounding one he does is Billie Jean.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so cool. She was more than a beauty queen from a movie scene. It just does the whole reading thing like that, you know? And it's a great way to really connect with a lyric. I've done that. I did that when I was in high school. I'd read the lyrics. I'm like, I'm a bit older than you, you know? And back in our day, we'd buy these albums and you'd open them up and the lyrics were sometimes on the album sleeve on the back and you'd read the lyrics while you listened to it. So I was really a lyrics guy. That's why I was really getting into like Simon Garfunkel. Dylan really spoke a lot to me because I could read what they're talking about, you know, as opposed to, you know, bang your head, you know, you know, but that's where I went with that. That's what got me to it. And kind of like the same thing with you, is you just sit and listen to the lyrics and they are all saying the same thing. They're saying something about what's going on with them. And here's a way for me to get that out. And then how the word craftsmanship that connects with you, you know, how somebody poses a phrase. Now you do that in your writing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always been inspired by writing. And I think, you know, some songs are just fun. Some songs are just therapy, but at the end of the day, it's like being able to wordsmith is such a, It's such a fun thing because I've been on the other side of music so many times where you've heard a line and you're like, oh my goodness, like just changes the way you think or feel about something in a way that you needed. You know, I feel like music sometimes finds you, like we all might listen to the same song and get something completely out of it or completely different out of it. You know, you might pick up a line that really you needed. I might pick up a piece or a piece of something that really inspired me. And it's just such a universal thing.
Again, using Billie Jean as an example, it's such a great example because it came out of such a pop song. But if you really listen to the lyrics, listen what the story's about, and then listen to how the Civil Wars perform it, it's so vastly different. It's so vastly different than how Michael Jackson did it. And then you see this guy do this reading of it, and each time you get a different take on it because it's how the story is presented.
Yeah, and what you've gone through as the listener.
Yeah. Like I tell people that all the time. You look at the Mona Lisa, you know, and some people's going to comment on the smile, you know. In fact, David Allan Coe wrote a song about that, Mona Lisa Lost Her Smile. Somebody might comment on the color or the texture of the, you know, everybody takes something away. That's what we do with art, you know.
Yeah.
It speaks to us through art. Well, you have a good knack of speaking to a lot of different people with how you write and how you perform and your presence, because your presence is huge. You know, you have a really huge presence when you're performing. I watched some videos of you. You just get so much energy. It's really, really fun. Yeah.
I love it.
So there's a gentleman I saw a couple of videos you play with. Do you play with him a lot or just off and on?
Who's that? Ian Abel?
I play with Ian a bit.
Ian's my guy. I love him. Ian Abel, he's a songwriter himself as well. He's got music out on all the streaming platforms. He plays plays guitar for me quite a bit. We got a residency together down here in Nashville. So we play together quite a bit, and we travel together quite a bit, too.
Okay.
He's got some stories. I wouldn't want him to tell many of them, but we've seen some things out here.
This is audio only, but if people saw you know, you've got a lot of ink. You know, if they haven't seen you before, you've got quite a few tats, and you're a presence when you're watching you. And to go from where you were, your background, to what you're doing now, the first song we're going to listen to really makes sense because the song is called Your Friends Think I'm Crazy.
Yeah.
See, I would write that, My Friends Think I'm Crazy. So it's Your Friends, so you're obviously singing this to somebody. Who are you telling it to?
Yeah, it's one of those songs, you know, there's two sides to every story, and it's a breakup song, so it's one of those songs where I went through that. I think it's pretty common in breakups. Everyone tells their side of the story, and I felt at the time going through that particular situation, I felt so very isolated because I had just moved to North Carolina, and I went through this situation where a lot of my friendships and relationships and people that I knew in my community were through my partner. So when we broke up, I felt like, you know, he took his friends and his community that he already had, and I kind of felt like I lost a huge part of, like, my support system because it was shared with you, kind of, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And I remember I just went through such a dark place, such a depression, and then a few months later, like, a mutual friend reached out, and he was like, hey, we're having a pool party if you want to come out. And I was like, I really thought you guys all hated me. You know, I thought, because that's what my ex told me, you know, that this group of people, you know, they don't want nothing to do with you and all this. And it wasn't until then where I was like, wait, nobody hates me. This guy's just completely bluffing. I didn't do anything wrong anyway. Yeah, right. And it was just such an eye-opening experience because I was like, the whole time they were like, yeah, we don't even talk to that guy. Like, what do you mean?
We're
not that close for all him to. And it just blew the lid off of that whole depressed state of mind because I realized I wasn't alone the whole time and nobody thought I was crazy. In fact, they thought he was crazy for even trying to separate everybody and and control a situation that's wasn't anyways. Anyways, it's the two sides of every story situation.
It's what we do with the we poison our own minds sometimes, you know, with our own fears, our own senses of rejection or whatever, and we manufacture things that don't exist.
Yep. That's exactly what that felt like.
Yeah.
And I remember just the walls being blown off. I was just so I never went anywhere. I was just inside. I was like, you know, in that just dark state, and it just blew the like all this light came in. And then I went to that pool party and we hung out and nobody brought it up. I didn't bring it up. We just had a good time. And I just remember thinking how wild that box, like you said, you do it to yourself, really.
I mean,
you did say everybody hated me, but like that was on me to see through the emotion of that and in the reality versus emotion of it.
Well, you're a lovely person, and you know that everybody doesn't hate you.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not worried about it no more if they do, anyway.
But we do want to hear the song, so we're going to listen to your first song. Steph McGuire, our guest here on the Music of America podcast, first song we've been talking about. Your friends think I'm crazy here on the Music of America podcast.
If you're bound to run, then boy, I won't hold you back. I'm tired of the fighting. I'm tired of all the lies. I'm tired of taking blame for things while you sit in denial. And your friends think I'm crazy, but they don't see what I
Your friends think I'm crazy, and they don't even know me. Ba-dum, boom. Steph McGuire, our guest here today on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. A couple more songs with Steph coming up in just a moment. Bass players, The Bag is a high-quality leather gig bag family of products that are handmade in the United States from the finest craftsmanship and a beautiful, sophisticated, very cool overall appearance. They're made of some of the finest quality leather and cushion available and meant to literally last you a lifetime. They've been in the leather business for over 30 years and are extremely proud to produce this line of gig bags targeting not just the skilled professional, but also the fun-seeking novice. Their hope is that you'll love The Bag as much as they do. We know this because The Bag is produced by Tony Vaughn and his family, Tony Vaughn Bass Bags, TonyVaughn.com, huge bass player in the Boston area. Sometimes his website works, and you can check him out, www.TonyVaughn.com. If not, just wherever you buy merch, if you go to Sweetwater, Musician's Friend, Guitar Center, whatever, check out The Bag Gig Line or The Bag Gig Bags and the whole line of products that they have, and you'll find the bag that's right for you. Just remember, it's The Bag, and you can find it at www.TonyVaughn.com. We're with Steph McGuire, who spent some time in Carolina.
I did.
And I'm trying to think when this airs. I call South Carolina my home away from my home away from home. As I've spent a lot of time in Vermont, but some friends of ours we introduced in Vermont, they were both from Vermont, and they're getting married. By the time this airs, they'll be getting married in about 2 weeks. So I'll be in South Carolina and then spend a few days down in Myrtle Beach. And love Myrtle Beach, love South Carolina. The only time I've been in North Carolina is when I stop at the airport to go to South Carolina. Or I stop in North Carolina because it's a hub for me to go just about anywhere from Vermont. So North Carolina, don't know much else about it except my ex lives there. And for you, and you're from the Raleigh area, right? You were in North Carolina?
Yeah, I'm kind of a rolling stone, so I was kind of all over the place. But give or take, mostly Raleigh.
Well, tell me the music, because I've heard this from this side of the microphone. I want to hear it from that. So tell me the difference of playing in North Carolina versus playing in South Carolina.
I will say I have more experience in North Carolina, so I don't have an apples-to-apples perspective. But okay. I will say, in my experience, North Carolina, I've mostly played in the coast in South Carolina. So when I personally think of South Carolina, I think of like Myrtle Beach and all the
Charleston, that whole the whole coast. Yeah.
So to me, that feels like the biggest difference. But there's also a great coast in North Carolina too.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure they're probably pretty similar, really.
Yeah. And it's a tourist thing, so you know, tourist things tend to be that way. I guess you get more in country, you know, get closer to, I guess, Virginia, and in South Carolina, you get over to Asheville like that, you know, and get up in the mountains, and you get a better flavor of the people of the state than the touristy side.
Yeah.
Why did you leave?
Well, went through another one of those good old breakups, and kind of similar thing. I was in deep on that one, and I had a band in North Carolina, and we were traveling. We were doing great, and we had two guitar players. One of my guitar players quit to move to Nashville with him and his wife, and about six, he called it. He was like, "There." We had another guitar player that had a less than professional
relationship.
Existence, let's just say.
Okay.
His whole existence. And so that guitar player kind of called it. He's like, "That guy's going to trample this. I'm going to get out. I want to do bigger things." And I was like, no, you got it all wrong. Well, no. 6 months later, I was calling that guy up being like, "Hey, you got room over there in Nashville?" And he did. I lived with my other guitar player and his wife
for about
3 months until I got my feet back under me. And we still work together out here, me and that guitar player.
So Nashville's a tough nut to crack.
It is very tough. Yes, it's very tough.
How'd you get it? What was your breakthrough? What was it? Just like, what's your key? Just your tenacity?
Yeah, I think
because everybody's talented. Everybody's talented.
If you come with anything less than 110% of just pure, like, just really tenacity is probably the best word for it, but also just like, I don't even know. You really have to have a bigger reason.
Yeah.
You really have to. You have to have a bigger reason for why you're doing everything, because it's very difficult to get established. And it's not that everybody's talented. That's a good part about Nashville. It's that everybody can run circles around your business.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, music at a professional level is entrepreneurship. And right. The entrepreneurship and people's understanding of business is what makes the difference between, you know, local bands or bands that are kind of having fun with it and bands that are hired at these stages you dream of. They're not hiring people just having fun or people that are so talented. They're hiring people that have a team that, you know, when they call them, they got someone that's going to answer the phone. They got someone that's going to consistently promote the shows and has the village to do good business and to be a good choice for business. So I think that's the part that luckily I have a business degree. I have a business brain. Somehow I also have a creative brain. I got lucky. I guess I have both, but I think that's the hardest part is people that the talent level is kind of assumed, you know, out here. It's the level of you will get spanked on the business end pretty hard. If you don't have that together, when you get out here, you will get drug hard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we used to call it a kick in the something or another, but
yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily I had some of that together when I came out here. Like we had a website, we had an LLC, we kind of had some of the back end stuff put together, but yeah, people will just spank you with their, they've learned how to be efficient, you know, things that take you forever to do. Other people have been doing for 8 years longer than you have. And it's not just playing guitar. It's marketing, it's making reels, it's being involved in growing a village and having great photographers and video people to work with that they've been working with for 10 years and you just got here.
I love that expression too. It's so clear, building your own village, because you're in the town. But you got to build your own village.
You have
and you can't be intruding on other villages, you can't be intruding on the town. You got to synergize, you know, and be a part of something bigger than you. And that's really tough for a lot of people to do.
And it's hard to convince professionals why they should work with you instead of the other million other people that are doing great.
Yeah.
You know, so you really got to believe in yourself. You have to have a good product. You do have to have that level of talent. And you have to have a vision. You really have to sell yourself out here. Where I came from, I felt like I got spoiled, but now I realized it wasn't just being spoiled. It was holding me back quite a bit.
So have you walked away from saying, wow, I can't believe X is going to be on my next record?
He's not on anything, so it works out great.
No, not your X. I'm somebody X, like I can't believe that is going to be on my next record. That you've actually made it through where
McCoy
or you know, Hank Snow's cousin or something. Who's a name that you want to drop here that you can't believe is actually doing some music with you?
Let's see. I will say one of my biggest co-writers out here, you kind of build your own village. It really is crazy. I work a lot with Cass Jones and brother Greg Jones, his dad. They're big, huge songwriters. And
Cass Jones, I know. Yeah.
Very exemplary and good people, great people. So I've got some songs out I think are going to get released this year that I'll be putting out with Cass. Also, he's putting out a song that I co-wrote with him and the Jensen sisters. So that whole project is
That's awesome. Really huge. Yeah.
Actually on Carolina, that song, John Connolly put down the original solo.
No kidding.
But we redid it.
Oh. How dare you?
Steve Elder ended up putting another guitar on there that was a little bit more gritty, a little more my style.
Yeah, and let's talk about that before we get into the song Carolina, because the song Carolina is your style, you know.
Yeah,
And how would you define that? It's not Americana. It's not really rock. It's kind of country rock, but kind of,
yeah,
you know, that's it's how I would hear
between.
It's almost like between. Your own thing. Yeah. Somewhere in between country and rock, and but not really country rock.
Yeah. I feel like it's similar. It's almost like Fleetwood Mac, where it's kind of like, it's just kind of easy listening. I don't know. It's not
melodic.
Really.
It's melodic, but it has attitude.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're going to call it McGuire Rock.
There we go. There we go. Nailed it.
Steph Country. We should use either one. That'd be good. So tell me about Carolina. The song we're going to listen to. It's
Carolina is such a sweet spot in my heart. It's like, it's really the only love song that I have written.
Really?
And it's that song about, it's a song about really like falling in love after you've been hurt kind of thing without talking about the hurt. It's just taking a chance on something new and realizing, you know, you can let go of your walls a little bit and kind of fall into something. And it's all kind of a twisted analogy in that it's written. If you listen one way, you're talking about the state of North Carolina, yeah. And it feels like you're accepting your love for a new place to live. But what it really is a love song. And it's a song about me falling in love with somebody that I called Carolina. I used to call him Carolina.
Yeah.
Because it was the first person I really fell for when I moved out there. And I did come from, was married and divorced in New York. So when I came to North Carolina, not only did I find a great place to live and an amazing community of people and such great weather and just absolutely beautiful, just beautiful landscape and beautiful communities. But I met this guy, you know, It was that, you know, do I break the being single, you know, thing that I have going on here and take a chance on this guy? And I did. And it turned out not so good. But at the time, it was really good. And if you really listen to the lyrics, it's a little, it's a little dirty, you know, it starts off that way. It's subtle because I'm a wordsmith.
Right. There you go.
It's wrapped up in a very nice bow, but that's if you pretty. Really listen.
Well, that's pretty. That's very pretty. Thank you. And we're going to listen to it. Steph McGuire, our guest here on the Music America podcast, the second serving of hers, a song called Carolina.
Taking everything I know that I deserve, looking at the stars and looking in your eyes again. Well, the night is quiet, but the night is wild. Listening to the crickets in your breathing, keeping time. Know from the start, it's fire in this heart again. Well, Carolina, can you feel me? Well, I feel you. Carolina, can you heal me? It's gonna take time, it's a 10-hour drive. I'm worth your while. I'm worth your while. Come by night, be late in firelight. Twisted up in heaven and your hand inside of me. Love together, one that's hard to find. My northern heart, your southern spoon. If my own out of pines, well, you're still my moon. Never forget, 24th of June. Well, Carolina, can you feel me? I feel you, and I feel new. Drive, I'm with you all. I'm with you all. shine right through the room. And you felt it, I felt it, just me and you. We took a chance in the back, tried something new. And when the night came, we took to that outdoor stage. The view was something, it was lasting, and the sparks caught flight.
Carolina, Steph McGuire from Nashville, Tennessee. Our last visit this year, this season to Tennessee. Our last guest from Tennessee. And we got one more song coming your way here, latest song we're going to talk about called Ride High in just a moment. If you've not been to New Mexico, there's lots of reasons to go. You really got to go to Taos. And here's just one more reason to go to Taos. David Allen Hammond and Jeannie Putnam. They're the owner-operators of Tune Drive Sound. It's a premier recording studio. It's nestled in the beautiful mountains of northern New Mexico. It's their passion to offer this magical, joyful, creative space, offering fantastic acoustics and gear for artists of all genres, all levels of experience to go and record. Their mission, as fellow musicians, is to sort of be a guide and a support system for every artist to help bring their artistic vision to life. At Tune Drive Sound, they offer their many years of experience in both analog and digital sound recording, their expertise in guitar, piano, songwriting, performing, teaching, coaching, will help you realize your vision. They offer help with mixing, production, songwriting, arranging, drum tracking, even remote mixing. Their clients are both local and from all over the country. They've got customers in Tennessee. They've got clients in New York City, California. You can find them today at tunedrivesound.com, www.tune, like I need to do with my guitars, drive, like what I do with my amplifiers when I'm playing rock and roll, and sound, like that which comes out of my guitar and my amplifier when I tune them. I'm reaching here, I know. Tune Drive Sound, www.tunedrivesound. Just another reason for you to travel to Taos, New Mexico. This is so much fun doing audio only because people don't get to see the reaction while I'm butchering that commercial there. Steph is trying everything in her power to not bust out laughing because it's so corny. But Steph McGuire, our guest here on the Music of America podcast, one more song. And this is your latest song, the latest hit that we're going to listen to?
Yes, it's the latest one. It just came out last week on Friday.
That's so cool. And do you ride?
I do. I don't have a bike right now. I sold it to move to Nashville, but
yeah. What did I have you have? Ridden,
I got my license, my motorcycle license when I was 21.
Yeah.
And I've owned a lot of bikes along the way.
What's your biggest trip?
Biggest trip? Not that far. I didn't go that far. We went to, in upstate New York, we went on a ride out to a casino, which was probably about 5 hours, maybe.
Okay.
And we went with a big group and spent the night out there and then rode on back the next day. But
it's so much fun, though. I don't ride, but I've got so many friends that do, and they say it's just so much fun, just the trip. You know, where you're going is usually fun, too, but just that whole excursion, just be out there riding with 20, 30 people, all, like, almost in procession.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you ride by yourself. You don't ride with somebody, right? You rode your own bike.
Yeah, I've had my own bikes, but I ride with groups a lot of times. I have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. There's some like communities. I don't ride with like a group, like a like an official group, but just, you know, collective folks that like to ride and kind of everybody gets together and gets lunch or whatever.
Do you have any ink that attributes or typifies or says anything about your bike riding at all? Yet?
Not yet.
Yet? Yet?
Not yet.
So,
I was thinking about, I got tattoos for some of my other singles. I was thinking about getting a ride high one here shortly. It's usually my move.
Yeah. So let's say you get a call. You get a call from Paramount Records or whatever, okay? And they say, we want to sign you. And here's your big bonus. And they give you this big signing bonus. And you know, you're going to make good money now. And you're going to be in the spotlight for the rest of your career, et cetera, et cetera. What's the first extravagant thing you're going to buy?
Oh, I don't know. I think the first extravagant thing I'm going to buy, I would go back to New York and send some coins over to the music programs over there in the schools, because I really feel like there's so much good to music, and it's such a, I feel like it should just be like a core subject, and maybe I'm a little biased, but
yeah,
I feel like
that's doing charitable. That's all good and noble and honorable. I'm talking about splurge on yourself and buy something.
Splurge on myself?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Would you buy a bike?
I would probably buy another bike. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you mentioned that, and you mentioned a truck earlier too, that you had a truck you sold so you could get a truck that you could afford. So would you buy a new truck?
I did do that. I probably would buy that same truck back. I love that truck.
It's an old Glenn Campbell song, I Love My Truck. I don't know if you ought to check that out. There's one for you to learn and cover.
That broke my heart.
Yeah? How come? How come?
That was like the first big vehicle that I bought myself.
Uh-huh.
That was expensive. So it was, I worked hard to be able to qualify for that, you know?
Yeah, and right.
So to just like have it all go back and... It was a crossroads, you know, of an old life and a new life. And then I got an 02 Tahoe, you know, from a 22 Tacoma, brand new off the dealership parking lot, to a 02 Tahoe. Was a hard transition a little bit there.
You can fold that up and put it in the glove box of your other truck.
it felt like I was going backwards. Yeah. You know, that's what it felt like at the time. And now I realize it's kind of what you needed. It's called sacrifice. You know, you got to do stuff like that in order to get somewhere better. You got to sacrifice some things.
If you could play somebody, a musician, on a movie, who would you play?
Ooh, I don't know that we look too much alike, but probably Stevie Nicks.
Yeah? She's that much of an influence?
I love Stevie Nicks.
What was that show? There was a show on Netflix that kind of paralleled Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, someone was just telling me about this.
It was such a good show, and I can't remember the name of it now.
I don't know. Someone else was just telling me to check it out.
Yeah, we'll do.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, it's really good. My sister turned me on to it. It's really good, and it really does. They asked her and Lindsey Buckingham if that was based on them, and they didn't say yes. They danced around it. Both of them said, it's rock and roll. There's some similarities in all rock and roll bands and stuff, you know, so you can tell it was kind of based on it. So that's kind of where I was going with that it doesn't have to be necessarily Stevie Nicks. If you could do a show like that, where you're portraying the role of someone as you perceive them, that would be Stevie Nicks, huh?
Oh, yeah. A queen.
Yeah. Would you practice witchcraft? Because she was on a... American.
Totally. I'm in.
Without batting an eyelash, because yeah, totally, why not? Funny. Well, your friends do think you're crazy, you know.
they're not wrong half the time.
As the first song says. Well, let's talk about this last song, Ride High. This is your newest song. Tell us about this. Tell me how excited you are about this, and what like first week feedback seems to be.
Oh, yeah. So This is probably my favorite song. It's hard to pick a favorite, but this song was, it was written during COVID. During that time, I did have a bike, and there was nothing to do during that time. So I would just ride and ride and ride. And I really didn't have I didn't know very many other riders in North Carolina and Raleigh, like I did in New York. There's huge groups of riders in New York, but, in North Carolina, I'm sure there are some, I just didn't know them. So I would go by myself a lot. And I wrote that song. It's really about, you know, as especially as adults, you really, there's not very many times in your day-to-day life, even in years of your life, where you feel truly physically vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like unsafe, you know, one quick decision and that can be. And in my experience with, I was a firefighter and an EMT for 8 years. And I worked at a drag strip as a firefighter EMT on the weekends. And I've seen a lot of things. I've seen how quick life happens and, or you lose it. And I've seen a lot of motorcycle things, and it is very dangerous. You are very exposed. It's just dangerous. It is. You can be a great rider and things can still happen, or other, you know, anything can happen, but that feeling of vulnerability really forces you to be in the moment and to be, you know what I mean? You can't just be blasting your radio, you know, smoking a cigarette, one hand on the wheel, because you feel safe. You have to be in the moment. You have to be watching for every little pothole, to be keeping your eyes on the side of the road to make sure a squirrel doesn't come out. A squirrel could take you out, you know, like,
right.
It's very, and that feeling of truly being in the moment is really the reason you get back on the bike. Like, the fresh air is great, you know, having an engine, all that. But it's really that feeling of, like, you're not daydreaming too much. You can't. You know, you smell the air that you're driving through. You know where you are based on the smells. And you know what the weather's like outside because you're in it.
You're really,
truly in the moment. And that feeling is really what I feel like most riders are chasing, and why you keep going back out tomorrow, because you want to feel vulnerable again. You want to be present, and you don't really do that often as adults, really. Maybe like hiking, you know, or something where you're
maybe the song should be Rider's High.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's also about, like, I thought about, like, you ride high and low, like you ride high and low, like through good times, through bad times, but you just keep riding. You just keep going. And it's an analogy for life too. It's literally written about motorcycles, but it's also very much an analogy for life. You know, there's a line that, like, a stone that's thrown may be your last. Like, you can't just, you know, you literally, because a stone can crash your bike, but
sure. But never thought about, like, a squirrel, like you said, a squirrel. A low flying bird, you know.
Yeah.
Hit your windshield. That's one thing. Freaks the out of you. It's a windshield. Imagine it hitting your face shield.
Yep. You know?
Or your helmet. Or
getting caught up in your tire.
Or getting caught in the wheel, right?
And then get caught up in the brakes, and you don't have them anymore. And just anything can happen. But, yeah, that feeling is really a lot of what you chase. And just your life decisions all come down to really nothing when you're riding. You know, you can be safe. You can do the best you can. You can ride right, but... You know, you got to just stack your deck, get out there and keep going, keep riding. That's what it's all about for me. And I built the track too to feel, and I argued with a lot of people about it, but I'm happy with my decisions about, it's built to feel like, you know, the song starts out, you kind of know where you're at, you kind of see where the song's going.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment where you're like, wait, what is happening? And then after that, it double times and speeds up after that, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever, if you're a rider or really just anything in life where you come to a close call, or you know, you take a wrong turn and you realize, like, that wasn't the safest place to be, or you about lose it and you get out of it. Now your heart's beating 100 miles per hour.
That adrenaline rush, yeah.
And you're gone now. And that's what I wanted this song to feel like. I wanted to replicate that feeling. So that's what we did. And it's a lot. It's like a 4.5 minute song. And everyone told me that's not how you do it in Nashville, but that's how we're doing it on that.
It's not a song. It's an experience.
That's right.
There we go. The song is called Ride High. The last song we hear with Steph McGuire, our guest here on the Music of America podcast.
is taking more. In the end, the freedom's what we're chasing. We've all got demons, we're out racing. Gotta put one down, but the rest is up. Ain't your choice, it's plain damn luck. Heaven is calling you, you've got to answer. Time goes fast, we gotta keep up. But it's fight or flight, we always run. But the one thing you can't outrun are nightmares. We ride high and we ride low, ride the darkest night, steady on till dawn. The devil is taking some, the road is taking. Pray it don't lead you to heaven's gate. You never know what monsters might take you. A stone that's thrown may be your last. Took the curse, stay off the grass. You can slide or die no matter what you've been through. We ride high and we ride low, ride the darkest night, steady on till dawn. The devil has taken some.
Hi, Steph McGuire here on the Music of America podcast, wrapping up our visit to Tennessee this week. But before we leave, Steph, the last segment of the show we call Shameless Self-Promotion. Tell us where we can find Ride High, where we can find all of your music, any merch you have, what's coming, where can we see you? Will you be touring Europe this year? Just whatever. So use this time and plug away shamelessly and self-promote.
Perfect. So you can find me, I'm on all the socials, you can find me all over the place. You can find merch, all the tour dates, and updates, and kind of new announcements are always up to date on my website, which is stephmaguire.com, and it's Maguire, like Maguire, like M-A-G, U-I-R-E. Right,
there's no Irish Scottish C in there. McGuire or nothing like that.
So, StephMcGuire.com's got all the latest stuff. And, of course, all the socials. I also try to go live on both Facebook and TikTok regularly on Mondays for right now. We'll see how that lasts through tour season. I have a couple residencies down here in Nashville, so you can catch me. If you're ever in Nashville, check out my schedule, which is always posted on my socials. I have a tour coming up in June with Oliver Sayani, and we're going to be going out to the Midwest, out to starting in Kentucky, I think, and then heading out to Missouri and Illinois.
Yeah.
And then our full band will be out in August, the end of August, heading out to the Midwest again to Wisconsin. And I think Wisconsin damn near killed us the last time, so we're
hoping it's been a little safer this time.
Eight cases of spotted cow beer in the trailer on the way back. They only sell it there, as it turns
out.
And so we've got a couple tours coming up this summer, and then more music I'm working on right now. Two more singles that should be out in June and July. A song called Don't Cry and another song called Drinking should be out by the end of summer, beginning of summer, really. Kind of at the tail of the stages of those two going out. And, opening for Kendall Marvel July 19th, which is a huge honor. What a great writer and a great artist. And pretty legendary. So I'm pretty excited about that right here in Tennessee. I'll be opening for him on July 19th. You can find the details on the website.
That's awesome. The website is just like it sounds, StephMcGuire.com.
You got it.
Cool. Steph, thank you so much. Glad we put this together.
Thank you.
And,
appreciate you.
Ride high, babe. Ride high.
That's right.
So much fun. Steph McGuire, our guest here, wrapping up Nashville, Tennessee, or wrapping up Tennessee from Nashville, here on the Music of America podcast. Join us next week. We're headed to Cow Country, Texas, all next week on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. We invite you to follow us at our website, www.musicofamericapod.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter, under the same name, Music of America. Please check us out and give us a like and a follow. Every day, Monday through Friday, we will feature a new guest from that week's featured state. Keep following us as we evolve on these platforms to continue to give members of the music community a voice and a presence. And thank you for listening to the Music of America podcast.